Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 211, recorded on Sunday, April 12th, 2020. I am joined tonight by Tim. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Lou. I'm doing really good. It was a beautiful day today. Got some stuff done. Had a nice dinner. How about you?
Awesome. I'm doing well. I did the same. I was outside most of the day, enjoying the beautiful spring weather we have here at Echo Base. And staying away from people, of course, for social distancing, which is by law of the empire, I guess.
Sometimes I stay away from people by choice.
Yeah.
I mean, way before this whole pandemic thing ever started.
I was telling people the other day, I'm an only child and I was raised in a neighborhood, but I didn't have any neighbors. So, I was born for this.
But Lou, that's exactly how I was raised. See, this is one more thing that like totally works for us. You've been to my house. This is where I grew up.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
The amount of houses around here, like right now, is actually twice as many houses as there was when I grew up here. And it's still pretty sparse now.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, totally.
That's
totally
awesome. I did not know we had that in common. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Absolutely.
Well, good. I mean, you know, we are still in the midst of the coronavirus stuff going on here. The Empire's got us locked down, but we are still managing to record and get together. And we did a virtual dinner the other night with our wives. So that was a fun thing to do. And I think those kind of things will continue after we're allowed to go out and socialize again.
I agree. I think we're going to kind of see more of that. I mean, it's something I think that, like, you know, you and I should definitely continue doing, since, you know, I'm here and you're there. We're not like conveniently close to each other. So it's fun to hang out.
Definitely.
We do it for about like 3 hours or something. And we're just like hanging out on Skype and we have some dinner, some drinks and BS a little, and
cats and dogs, you know, walking through the camera. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. And I agree. I think there's going to be some of this that's after the pandemic that's going to kind of continue, that, you know, people get used to socially doing this together. And I think some businesses are realizing that, hey, look, we actually, you know, can do this whole work from home thing. Maybe not every day. But, you know, they might want to do it, you know, let employees do it 1 or 2 days a week or something like that. And I think that make a lot of people happier.
I think so, too. We're going to discuss actually some of this coronavirus impact stuff a little later tonight. We do random chatter. Pretty good discussions topic on that. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, tune into random chatter later on. You'll hear us talk about impacts on movie theaters and that kind of stuff. So it should be pretty interesting.
Tonight for Echo Base, we have It's Amazing. I think this is like the first Echo Base in a few weeks, and we didn't record last week because there really wasn't a heck of a lot of news. But this is the first show in a few weeks that doesn't have a whole bunch of coronavirus related stuff in it.
Yeah.
There's actually like legit Star Wars news, people.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Before we get into the news, we have two new show announcements we want to discuss a little bit here tonight. Tim, you brought the first one to us. Actually, you brought both these to us. So I'll let you take the lead on both these.
Yeah. So a few days ago, was chatting with some folks about some of the podcasts that they were doing. And this one particular person that I was talking to, they have been running for a couple of years with some other hosts, a Dungeons and Dragons, a fifth generation Dungeons and Dragons podcast. And it's kind of like an immersive, like role play type of thing that they do with their show. It's a lot of fun. I've listened to a few episodes. They've been doing it for a couple of years now, and asked them, you know, just kind of through continued conversation, hey, you know, do you guys have a network? Are you interested in one? That kind of thing. And so, you know, they've been doing it independently. They've been doing great with it. But we kind of talked about, like, you know, the community that we have. We have a lot of folks in our community who are really interested in D&D and, you know, thought they'd be a great fit for us. And so they said, yeah, well, we're more than happy to join you. So it's a show called The Beholder's Eye. And you can find it right now wherever you, you know, happen to find podcasts. And like I said, they have a couple years worth of a backlog of episodes. And so pretty soon, I don't know if it's going to be in their next episode or maybe the one after that, we will have them officially a part of the network. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that's really good to hear, because we've got a lot of our listeners that have been into gaming, into, you know, role playing type stuff, tabletop gaming, and we've never had really a show for that. So this is a great, you know, intro into that for us. None of us have had time to do anything else additionally to what we're doing already. So bring these guys in that have already got an established show, bring their network or bring their fans to us, bring our fans to them, and hopefully there'll be some synergies between them, and, you know, they'll find our shows and our listeners will find them. So,
yeah, absolutely. So the Andrew, who's their showrunner, he's already over in our Discord community. We've set up a show channel for them. And like I said, basically right now we're just kind of working through the logistics with them in terms of getting all the tech stuff aligned and kind of getting them into the fold with things. So we're really excited about that.
Cool.
And then over the weekend, we had another show kind of unfold, and I had a handful of discussions with folks. There's a couple of guys who are interested in doing a sports related show.
Nice.
For the network. Yeah. So sports is not something that we've really ever directly done. But we have a lot of sports fans across the network and covering different sports: baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer, boxing, wrestling, all sorts of different things. And so one of these guys happens to be my cousin, who's down in Jacksonville, Florida. And the other guy is a friend of his, and they talk sports all the time. And so they have a really great rapport. And I hung out with them for probably like an hour and a half or so on a chat, and just kind of tossed around some ideas and really got a good sense for these guys and how they flow. And my cousin does some stuff on Twitch, some gaming and video gaming and that kind of stuff on Twitch. He's never done any podcasting before, but, you know, kind of when you're doing the Twitch gaming thing, you're hosting essentially.
Sure.
And, yeah, you know, you're having conversations with people and all that. So he has a great setup for it already. And they have a pretty good thing going. So what they're going to do, and this right now is unnamed. They actually tossed me a handful of their names this evening, and I kind of said, yeah, I like this one, this, the other one, and not so much. This other one's really cool. So they're kind of milling those about. I think they may even throw those ideas over to our other hosts over in our staff channel to kind of pull them and get a sense for what people like and what they don't like. But they're looking to start up pretty soon. And people might be thinking, hey, you know, coronavirus, there's nothing going on with sports right now. That couldn't be further from the truth. There is actually a lot of sports stuff going on right now.
Right. There may not be actually any games being played, but there's a lot of news related stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of news. We've got the NFL draft coming up next weekend, I think. The NFL Combine is coming up. And so, I mean, for folks who know football, like, these are two things that are, they're always done in person. They've always been done in person. And now the NFL is like really stretching things a bit to try to figure out how to do these things remotely. And so, you know, that's really interesting. They just, you know, there's like you said, there's different news with things. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit a few weeks ago on Random Chatter about the eNASCAR thing.
Right.
Which is, you know, they're basically playing video games. They're in those giant driving simulators. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's a real big thing. So there's a lot of stuff. Plus, it's not going to be just like hardcore sports stuff, because both of these guys, they're big pop culture fans also, like we are. And so they are going to be covering some things like esports and cool, those things where sports and pop culture tend to intersect, because mm-hmm. they are really, they're very, they're so, both of those things are so integrated into our social culture.
Right. Right.
And sometimes there is some overlap.
I mean, Eric may have some secondary thoughts on this, but I mean, I think it's been a great fit for the network. I mean, Eric always says, we don't do sports. But, you know, so much of sports is ingrained in all of us. I mean, you know, I'm a huge Patriots fan. I love watching hockey. I used to go to games a lot when there was a, you know, minor league team, you know, around us that was close to go to. It's just fun to be involved. And while I may not be the hardest core sports fan out there, but I mean, hey, it's good to have that kind of stuff discussed on the network. So I'm looking forward to this, Joe.
Yeah, it totally is. So we plan on having the host of both of these shows on upcoming episodes of Random Chatter. So, you know, everyone can kind of get introduced to them and get a sense for what their shows are and their personalities and all that. We like to kind of do a lot of that, you know, cross pollination type of thing. And maybe we'll drag some of those hosts onto even some other shows here and there as guests, just to help kind of everyone get a sense for what's going on, you know, big picture in the network, and helps our hosts to get to know each other. It helps our listeners to get to know those hosts and what their shows are. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. One big happy family, right? So that's awesome.
Exactly. Slightly dysfunctional, but we're usually happy.
What family isn't? Okay. Just some housekeeping stuff here before we get into the news. Of course, you can get a hold of us on email, echobase@randomchatter.com. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram. We are at Force Chatter on both those. I am on Twitter at Luce Skywalker, the Skywalker without the E. I'm also on Instagram as Luceki or Six Inch Hero. Tim, where are you on social media?
Twitter, that is Qui-Gon Tim, Tim with two M's. And over on Instagram, that is Some Call Me Tim, that's Tim with one M. Or I'm sorry, Tim. Some call me Tim 1138.
Very good. Yeah, don't forget your name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. If you want to interact with us on a more you know, casual basis, probably Discord is the best way to do that. You can find out more information about that by going to randomchatter.com/discord. We have shows for, or sorry, channels for all the network shows, as well as all kinds of stuff. If anything from health and fitness to landscaping to collecting to spoiler channels, a lot of the stuff is actually only for our Patreon members. If you want to help support the network by becoming a Patreon member, $1 a month gets you access to the rest of our Discord stuff and actually makes you become a member of Random Chatter. You can find out more information about that by going to randomchatter.com/Patreon. And lastly, you can get our stuff. We have t-shirts, we have hats, we have stickers and all kinds of stuff over at our store, randomchatter.com/stores. We can find all that stuff. And soon, as soon as I get myself engaged and do a little more work for Robin, we'll have the newest of our shows available for purchase as t-shirt. It'll be streaming Smarties. I haven't even actually had a chance to sit on the computer all weekend, but I will. Soon, probably tomorrow night. I know she's gonna yell at me.
I can't get in the middle of that.
Don't tell her. I'll talk to her tomorrow.
All right.
Let's get right into our news this week and discussion topics. First off, I mean, this one seems to keep rearing its ugly head from time to time. News about the whole process, I guess, of writing for Rise of Skywalker and The Last Jedi and so forth. This was an article from IndieWire, and this was J.J. Abrams' editor. What was her name here?
This was Mary Jo Markey.
Okay, so she's J.J. Abrams' editor for his movies and stuff.
She's like his go-to. I mean, there's usually like teams and such, but she is apparently his go-to editor on the vast majority of his films.
So she knows him inside and out, and, you know, obviously it knows what he does and how he does things, and probably helps write a lot of the stuff with him, I would imagine. I mean, editors that are that close work so tightly with somebody that they become almost one mind, I think, a lot of times. But she was having discussions, I guess, about it. This was on Light the Fuse podcast. She was talking about Rian Johnson's decisions he made for The Last Jedi and, you know, how he wanted to, you know, break open the franchise, move things in a different direction, and, you know, take Star Wars apart the way it was originally done. And that left, you know, J.J. in a hard spot to decide how he wanted to go about and do this. you know, we've had this discussion time and time again. And for me, it's just poor that they didn't have a better plan going into this. I mean, somewhere in here, I read to, where was it here? That they wanted to have a more, there needed to be a more cohesive plan, or at least voice, right?
Yeah, the stuff that came out of this interview really does seem to underscore the stuff that we've been saying, that like it not only underscores it, but actually confirms the fact that there really wasn't a plan for the sequel trilogy to bring it through. And so she says that Rian Johnson basically made conscious storytelling decisions for The Last Jedi that actually undid a lot of the narrative setups that were made in The Force Awakens. And but then on the flip side of that, she says she feels that The Rise of Skywalker didn't undo any of the story that was presented in The Last Jedi. So, well, The Last Jedi seemed to kind of like take a tangential trip off of from where the Force Awakens setup was. The Rise of Skywalker stayed true to that course that The Last Jedi set up. And I think, you know, they had to. I think JJ realized that, hey, look, we can't necessarily like jump away from that now, because then it's going to be like really, things are going to be like really crazy.
You know, this comes back to discussions we had back when The Last Jedi came out, and all these rumors started circulating around that, you know, they gave Rian ability to do what he wanted to and this and that. And we all said, no, that can't be really the way it was. There's no way they would say, yeah, just do what you want. We'll figure the next one out afterward. That had to be a plan. And I kind of stuck by that comment back in the day. There had to be a plan. They wouldn't do this kind of endeavor without having a plan going forward of here, hit these milestones, make this story, this is where you want to end up with. But evidently they didn't.
They apparently didn't. And I got to say, I mean, I kind of blame the blame can go out to a few people. And you know, folks can blame Kathleen Kennedy because she is, you know, she's the top dog at Lucasfilm.
Sure.
But I think really a lot of the blame goes to JJ. I mean, when JJ was hired and brought in to do The Force Awakens, he was also kind of made the grand poobah of the sequel trilogy. So he was going to be the executive producer over the whole thing. Well, he wasn't necessarily writing it all. He obviously did do writing for his films, but still, I mean, he kind of, I think, needed to be the Kevin Feige of it and say, okay, look, we're gonna have a story arc. There's three episodes, there's three films. We're gonna have one cohesive story arc. We have to get from A to Z, and even to an extent of, he doesn't have to write it all. He can just simply say, just get us from A to Z. I don't care how we get there. Maybe there's an M in here that I'd like to see. Maybe there's an R that I'd like to see in here. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, just get there. And, you know, I'm not bashing the sequel trilogy, and I don't think you are either,
no,
Luke, because
no,
there's stuff in the sequel trilogy that we both like, but this just like this particular interview just really confirms a lot of what we've been thinking and saying, that like there really was no plan.
Yeah, I mean, it confirms things I didn't want to believe. Because I mean, to me, it's, I mean, you know, how many millions and billion dollar industry is Star Wars, and to not have a plan to do this is just, I mean, you know, what's the old saying? Fail to plan to fail. I mean, you know, this just smacks of being grossly incompetent on the management staff. I don't really
want to. Let's just wing it, Lou.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
let's just wing it.
This is like they're doing Star Wars the way we do podcast. No. You know, we don't have billions of dollars on the line, you know?
It just doesn't
make sense. You know, so in this same interview, Marianne Brandon, she's a co-editor with Markey. So she felt TLJ was a completely different take on Star Wars saga. And to Rian's credit, he stuck with what he wanted to do. He wanted to deconstruct the saga, open it up to go in a different direction. Though she says she feels very much that in hindsight, the trilogy did need one vision. It was hard for JJ to decide what to do after The Last Jedi. It's like if someone else wrote in the middle of your novel. And that quote there was like, yeah, that would be tough. But, you know, I mean,
yeah, I mean, that really hits home. It's yeah. Imagine writing a story that's three chapters and you write the first chapter and then you say you give it to someone else. And yeah, they use your same characters and stuff, but they take it in a completely different direction than what you had envisioned.
Right.
And then they hand it back to you and you're like,
it's like improv, Tim.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really is.
And Star Wars should not, a movie in general should not be improv. It's just, it doesn't work. So yeah, and,
you know, I mean, there's really good things that came out of all three of those movies. I agree. The setup in The Force Awakens. I thought there were some really interesting and cool things that came out of The Last Jedi. And then The Rise of Skywalker obviously gave us this, you know, epic end to a lot of things. So looking at individual components of each of those three episodes, mm-hmm. I think there's some really, really great stuff in there. When you look at it, though, as when you try to look at it as one story, that's where it really falls apart.
Right. Right. And for me, I mean, overall, I mean, just like I said with the prequel trilogy, I mean, it may not have been what I wanted. It may not have been the way we should have had them, but it's what we got, and I'm going to enjoy it the way it is. So, unfortunately, that's what we have.
Sure.
Let's see. Moving on. Now, Tim, I know you're a big Lego Masters fan, and as am I. This past week was their penultimate episode of their season one, where they did Star Wars stuff. You got a chance to see this, I assume?
I did. This is really exciting. You know, this, and it's interesting, and this came up a little bit when we were talking to Crystal and Amy in the interview that, mm-hmm. that you and I did with them, talking about Lego Masters and the fact that they hadn't done any licensed stuff. Mm-hmm. At all up until that point. So we spoke with them right after episode 8 aired, and then we had a 2 week jump until episode 9 came in, and so we had three teams left coming into episode 9, and they did two Star Wars oriented builds in this, which was cool. It was nice to see more than one Star Wars thing in it.
Yeah, and they really did it up well. They had, you know, everything was Star Wars themed in the set that week. They had C-3PO came out, RGD2 was there, BB-8 rolled out at the very end.
Yep.
So they really did a good job with it. And their first challenge was to build droids. They had to build their own unique droid, have a and everything they do on the show had to be a story. You couldn't just build something and say, here it is. You had to build it. You had to make it interactive. You had to make it, you know, make a story around it and tell the story from what the droid looked like.
Yeah.
So they all did a pretty good job on that, I think, really. Who's the couple? Tyler and Amy?
Maybe.
Okay.
Gosh.
They built a serving droid that had blue milk on a serving tray. That one looked like it could have been a droid from Star Wars. I mean, that really had the same look and feel like you would see you know, the droid creators in Star Wars universe build something. So that they did a really good job.
They really did. And interestingly enough, their droid, and yes, it is Tyler and Amy, their droid was, they had problems right up to the last minute,
right?
Literally of the head of the droid falling off because what they were trying to build simply didn't have enough stability
support. Yeah.
And all the droids were also motorized. They actually moved.
Right.
So it was one thing to set it there and put it on display and look at it and say, okay, here's what it is. Here's what it does. Here's what it looks like. That's cool. But then they put it on the floor and actually, like, you know, moved it. They had various motors in these things. And that was kind of the big, like, tense moment when Tyler and Amy's droid moved, because we saw the head fall off that thing two or three times.
Right. Yeah. Was it going to work or not?
Toward the end of their build.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other two teams had one was a panhandling musical droid, which was kind of a unique take. That was fun.
Yeah, that was Sam and Jessica's, which was that was interesting. And I got to say, the execution of that, I was like really questioning that one while they were building it. But the execution of it ended up really good. I was pretty impressed with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked pretty good. And the last one was a resistance droid, a communications droid, I think it was.
Yes.
And that was fun.
That was
too.
Mark and Boone's.
Yeah, had the arms going and everything. It was pretty good. That was fun.
Yep. No, it was a repair droid. It was a welder.
Oh, I thought it was okay, but it had didn't it have a communications message for the resistance, I think,
Yes, because it was like it was a traitor droid. It was supposed to be
That's right.
Like first order, and then the chess piece popped out, and they found that it had a little resistance emblem in there. So they was kind of part of the droid story. So that worked out pretty well. So that was an interesting challenge. And then for the second one, they went into doing scenes. They were shown, here's like posters of a bunch of different like epic scenes within Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And so they got to choose based on their order of how they did in the challenge for the droids. They got to choose which scene to do.
Mm-hmm. So there was the three scenes that were chosen by the teams were the AT-AT assault on the Rebel base.
Yeah, that was, and Mark and Boone got that one.
No, that was Tyler and Amy.
Tyler and Amy. Yes, you're right.
Mark and Boone did the Endor battle.
Yes.
Yeah. Which had a lot of Ewoks and stuff. And then Sam and Jessica got the Battle of Crait.
Yeah.
Which I thought
was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I thought they did a phenomenal job with their build on that, but it was funny that I'm like, okay, you think of iconic battles in Star Wars lore and you go, okay, the AT-AT assault on Echo Base. Yeah. That's a big one. Battle of Endor. Yeah. That's a big one too. Battle of Crait. I'm like, it's an epic battle, but it's like, it just doesn't have that longevity with us yet that it says it's an epic battle, So, but they did a phenomenal job with that build. I thought it was great to have the, they had the white salt and they had the red surface underneath and explosions coming up with dust, and they had the little ski fighter there and stuff. That was a really, really fun looking build. That was good.
Yeah, it really was. I was impressed with how well they did with it. It's an interesting thing that like they brought in a lot of the elements to it. Like they had the trench.
Right.
The trench in front of the base where a lot of the resistance soldiers were. And like you said, they had the explosions. And so like they did these explosions of, with the red dust and everything in Lego. And I was really skeptical with how they were going to do it, but their execution of it ended up being really, really good. I was solidly impressed.
Yeah. They've definitely improved as this season's gone along. Their first couple of weeks were kind of shaky, I thought, as far as builds go. But they've really stepped up their game. They did a great job this week.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did. So the big surprise at the end of this one was that, so Mark and Boone won.
Mm-hmm.
They won the challenge with their Endor
battle. Yep.
Scene, which was, the sheer number of minifigs that they had in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there were Ewoks all over the place. There were Rebel soldiers. There was obviously an epic crap ton of stormtroopers, and they had the ATST, which there were some questionable things with the ATST because again, like up to the last minute, that thing fell apart. And so the guys are scrambling to try to get it not just put together, but so it actually stays together.
Yeah.
And luckily nothing had to move with it. Because I think if anything had to move, that would not have survived.
All over. Yeah, right.
But, they did the bunker really well, and there were trees, and there were, Ewoks swinging out of the trees and stuff. And
they even had the Ewok with the glider. They even had that going.
Yes. Yeah.
They did a good job.
That was really cool because they had layers to it. And the others did as well, but I think there was just more, there was a lot more done that Mark and Boone did with there. So it was just, it's really exciting. You and I love Lego. We love Star Wars Lego stuff. We had the ladies, interviewed on random chatter to talk about the Lego Masters and a lot of fun. So, Mark and Boone won this challenge, and everyone expected one of the teams to get eliminated. So then the final would just be one team versus another team. And instead they gave all the teams a pass. So yeah, for the finale next week, this coming week, it's going to be three teams.
Yep. But what the surprising thing was that Tyler and Amy were actually going to finish third in that episode. And if that was an elimination round, they would have went home. And I think they are the strongest team. I mean, I think Mark and Boone are really good too. And Sam and Jessica have come a long way, but I mean, throughout the season, they've been just time for time knocking out of the park with really professional looking builds. It was just interesting to see them in a third place position where they're going to go home. But
yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the over on Wikipedia, by the way, folks, if you want like episode for episode information on this show, it's phenomenal. And whoever did this actually did a table in here that goes episode for episode and team for team and shows the results. Mark and Boone have won 4 weeks. They won weeks 4, 5, and 6. And then this past week, week 9, Tyler and Amy have won 3 of them. They won week 2, 7, and 8. So they are, I mean, if you go by wins, they're second place in this. Mark and Boone are first. They're really strong. Sam and Jessica were rated as high risk, which is essentially like you were almost eliminated for 4 weeks.
Yeah. They were in the bottom two, like 3 weeks in a row or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've had a rough go, but they have improved. Like you said, they've really jumped back. So, it's going to be cool to see what this finale is. And it looks big. It looks like they got the other teams to come on. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. This next story here, Daisy Ridley is doing a Star Wars read-along. And Timmy didn't give me any link to this, so I don't know anything about this. I'll let you take this one.
So this is something on Instagram, and I saw this yesterday morning, just kind of in my first, like, you know, I woke up, I fed and walked the dog. I just kind of lounging around in bed. I think it was actually before we got together and recorded Behind the Curtain yesterday morning. And so I'm just kind of, you know, scrolling through my social media stuff, and I came across this, and it's up on the Star Wars Instagram account, the official Instagram account. And it's about 10 minutes long, and it's Daisy Ridley. She's just sitting at home, and she's reading one of the Star Wars children's books. And it's a sequel trilogy children's book. It's got Poe in it and BB-8 and all that.
Oh, cool.
And it's fantastic. She does a great job, and it's just, you know, she's doing it as if she had, you can kind of see, you can visualize as if there were like a circle of kids sitting on the floor.
She's reading to them. Nice.
And she reads it, and then she turns the book facing the camera, so, you know, you can see the pages and stuff, and then she turns it back and she reads, and of course she's reading it with emotion and all that. It was fantastic. It's just a fun little thing. And I thought that was cool. I hope that we see more of those coming out. I mean, we're seeing obviously a ton of actors and other celebrities doing things on social media and YouTube and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know what? They're bored just like we are. And they want to do stuff, and they know that they've got fans, and, you know, their fans like to hear from them. So yeah. You know, why not do so? And it keeps them relevant also.
Exactly. I mean, I know not Star Wars related stuff, but the nightly or, you know, late night talk show stuff during the week has done this all just from home. I think I haven't seen the other ones, but Tonight's Show with,
Fallon.
Fallon, yeah, Jimmy Fallon. He's been doing knocking out of the park this past week, doing, you know, Skype calls with guests and doing challenges at home and doing the whole musical thing. They did. They had Sting on to do Don't Stand So Close to Me the other night with household appliances. Yeah, it was like somebody was playing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
One guy was playing a pillow. One guy was playing a pair of shoes. It was just fun.
That's great.
Let's see. Back to Star Wars stuff. So we have, you know, the Cassie Andor series coming up sometime in the near future, we hope. And there was an interview with Diego Luna talking about this the story and the character, and he says he can't tell us anything about the store. Obviously, I mean, he's not going to give away any secrets to this, but you know,
darn.
Yeah, I know. They ran into the same thing though with this that we kind of ran into with. I remember the stories of Titanic coming out with the movie, and it was like, well, we already know what happens at the end. So how do you, how do you tell a compelling story? I mean, the ship sinks, you know. And
what? Spoiler, Lou.
I'm sorry, I know. But dude, you know, likewise
that
with
is
this one,
so wrong.
Tim, get over it. It's a long
Why
time
would you
ago.
Do that?
Even before I was born.
Why would you do that?
So Diego Luna is talking about the fact that, you know, we know what happens to Cassian at the end of.
We do. What happens to him?
I'm not going to spoil that one, Tim.
Oh. Well, now I want to know.
We probably can.
Does he get a puppy?
He does.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Good for him.
I think we should. Everyone deserves a puppy. I think we should rewrite all the Star Wars movies now with different endings.
Yes, let's do that.
You know, the end of Revenge of the Sith. What's going to happen? I think he's going to get a puppy too.
Yeah, Anakin gets a puppy.
Yeah, exactly.
Obi-Wan gives Anakin a puppy.
There you go. That's awesome.
And then the Emperor kills it.
And the Emperor says, your puppy had to go live with your uncle on Endor. on that farm.
Yeah.
Anyway. But he was talking with IndieWire, telling them about how, you know, what happens when you know what the ending is already going to be. You know, it becomes about the story. Then you can't really go, oh yeah, no, this isn't really how it ended. We know what happens to him. So how do you make that story compelling? And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they evolve this, but I think ultimately it's going to be about individual missions and his character, as you know, as the growth of his character, because you know, we know who he is. We know what he's about, but we don't know why he's that way, right? So I think you're going to see missions that affect him and change him into the person he becomes to make that ultimate sacrifice, right?
Yeah. And he actually, I mean, in this interview with IndieWire, he reflects on Rogue One saying, yeah, you know, we know how this ends. We know how it ends up. So let's fill in the blanks, essentially. Let's figure out how our character got to where he was when you saw him in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, Rogue One was really no different because we knew how that was going to end.
Yeah.
Rogue One ends where A New Hope begins. So not a whole lot of surprises there, but it did happen to be the group of core characters from Rogue One that we really got attached to, unfortunately.
Mm.
but you know, I mean, because they just didn't make it, but they told that story and we got incredible character development and we got, and we did come to get so attached to those characters. And it's awesome that we are going to get further development of those characters, at least specifically Cassian, and also, Robot, Big Droid,
K2SO.
Thank you, K2SO, in this as well. It's you know, it's been confirmed that he's going to be with him too. So
yeah,
it's going to be great.
And you know, that's really no different than any prequel story, anything. You know, I mean, you know where we're going to end up, so it's nice to tell that story leading up to it. I'm looking forward to it. Tim, Disney Plus in France has revealed new info forecasting Andor and the new Kenobi series. What have they told us here?
So they have mentioned that the Cassian Andor series will be debuting next year, so 2021, and the Obi-Wan Kenobi series is going to launch in 2022. So this is the first time, I believe, that we've gotten any kind of, you know, time frame on these. Now, of course, that could get impacted, as we've talked about pretty extensively on this show and Random Chatter and other shows, that production timelines are all screwed up right now.
Why is that?
I mean, because of
that thing with the puppy.
Yes, okay. Puppies. Yes, yeah, puppies have. They're the undoing of society. No, they're not. I love puppies. But they did also give us an official synopsis of the Cassian Andor series.
Oh, okay.
Something tells me we had this already.
I don't think we have we?
I don't know. I'm going to read it anyway. So Diego Luna will once again play Cassian Andor in the series, which takes place during the first years of the rebellion before the events described in Rogue One. The breathtaking spy thriller goes on daring missions, their goal to give hope to the galaxy subjugated by a ruthless empire. Wow, that's really overblown. Alan Tudyk will also be there as K2SO. Stephen Schiff is the showrunner and executive producer of the Lucasfilm produced series. So we have that. And the only thing that they're putting out for a description for the Obi-Wan series is Ewan McGregor will resume his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi in a new series with an unknown title produced by Lucasfilm. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think we had that first one before. I mean, we may have known most of those things, but I don't think we actually had that as a synopsis. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know. A lot of things are still progressing along.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Speaking of Lego, we talked about the Razor Crest a few weeks back, I think, and it's now up for pre-order. Have you pre-ordered yours, Tim?
I haven't yet, but it's beautiful. It's fantastic. So this thing releases September 1st. It's up on Lego.com mm-hmm. for $129.99. This comes with Florian and the child and a scout trooper. It's just really funny. And it comes with IG-11 and it comes with my brain is not functioning tonight. Who's the guy who gives them the missions?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank too, Tim. I know. I'm not helping you here. I'm sorry. What the hell's his name?
People are screaming at us right
they
now.
They are. They're yelling at their radios.
Yeah.
Podcast players or whatever. Oh, well, we'll come back to that. But it does look really good. It's 1,000 pieces. It seems like it's not a big, big set for $129.
No. It's not terribly big. But it is, you know, it's nice. And the back, so, you know, there's a cockpit that you can mm-hmm. put your figs in. You've got some blast, some guns. You've got the two big engines. The back drops down.
Yep.
And actually, as does the side.
The side does too, yeah. It looks like it's got a carbonite figure too.
Yeah.
He has a habit of freezing his bounties and bringing them in.
Yep.
Well, that looks really cool. This does look like a nice build. Good detail, but it just seems a little expensive for... Oh, thank you. Yes. It seems a little expensive for $130.
A little bit. I think it's still going to sell well, obviously, because the Mandalorian mm-hmm. is the hot thing. And it is it does look like a nice build. You're right. It's not huge. There is also a little bit of a bonus that comes with this, though.
Yeah.
And that is the new Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga video game, which does not yet have a release date, but it's coming up sometime toward the end of the year, like the last quarter-ish. There is a when you buy this, you will get a secret code, which will unlock the Razor Crest as a playable ship in that game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I like when they tie things together like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives you one more reason
to get an added bonus. I think that's cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I like it.
Let's see here. Another Lego announcement. So Lego has a surprise set they're unloading, which is not unloading, revealing to us a 501st Legion Clone Trooper set.
This is pretty cool. Yeah, this was a surprise. Yep. Yeah, no one knew about this. And so this just dropped last week. We got the news on this. And so this is, it's 501st Clone Wars. It gives us the AT-RT Walker, mm-hmm. and these all have that like blue and silver color scheme.
Yeah, they look really sharp.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. And so it's a kind of one of the playsets. So you get four clones with it and a couple of battle droids, a couple B1 battle droids. You get a the Bark Speeder, which is kind of the first first speeder that we saw there. And that has a couple of blasters on it. The AT-RT has a blaster, a stud shooter on it. And you get three clone troopers, a jet trooper, and the two battle droids.
When does this come out? Early August. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't look big. There's not a, I don't think there's a price on this. I'm going to say
$40, maybe $50.
Yeah, I was thinking like $39.99 kind of thing.
Yeah, that was the $40.
We might get surprised and see like a $24.99, or I'm not that low.
If it was only the one vehicle, I'd say it was a $30 one. But because it's got the two rideable vehicles, I'm thinking it's within the $40 range.
Yeah,
but it looks really nice. I like the way they've done this.
Plus six minifigs. I mean, it's great to get a little playset like that. You get two vehicles and six minifigs. I mean, that's always cool. And especially when, like, you're building your Legos, then you're putting them up on display. It's always great to have extra minifigs to, like, do scenes with and stuff. So,
of course.
That's always fun. Yeah.
Let's see here. Mark Hamill has written a letter. He had a small role in the trilogy.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So, till Luke Skywalker had a letter he wrote that was actually in the box set, the Skywalker Saga box set as well.
Was this? I didn't know that.
Yep. This was included there. I saw pictures of this online, but it was also released on Instagram and Twitter. He basically had a farewell letter to Star Wars fans and kind of, wrapping up the Skywalker Saga, which is, where this was in that box set. But, kind of a nice little love letter to the fans. And at the very end of it, talks about how we're going to be getting new stories with new people and new things going forward. And, the story continues. So,
it was
really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. He closes the letter out by saying, "I'm deeply thankful for your continued enthusiasm and dedication to George's faraway galaxy, which will continue to grow with new storytellers building an even bigger galaxy filled with heroes, villains, action, romance, and of course the Force. May the Force be with you always, Mark Hamill." And that's just, that's really cool. I mean, these nine episodes were the Skywalker Saga, and you have Luke Skywalker himself kind of saying, "Hey, thanks for being with me," and kind of giving a farewell. Of course, we're going to continue seeing Mark at cons and that kind of stuff, and he's an incredible presence on social media and all that. But
yeah,
it's a nice thing for him to kind of give a formal thank you, essentially on behalf of his story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because this, he was a central role of this and his family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we talked about date slipping for other things, but Disney is committed so far to maintaining a December 16, 2022 release date for the next Star Wars film. I think they're committed that they haven't really committed. They haven't really said they've recommitted to that date, but they just haven't announced any delays yet. So, I'm kind of skeptical we'll see that at that time, but they have plenty of time. So,
and that's the thing. It's far enough out. That's basically 2.5 years out. Actually, even a little bit more than that. So, anything that they're doing right now in pre-production, they can do. These people are doing from home, and they can. They're writing, they're developing,
if nothing
character
else,
profiles.
Right. And if nothing else, they have plenty of time isolated from everybody else to write this story and get this right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. So whatever it is right now, I mean, right now they're doing a treatment. I mean, they're not casting. They're not actually writing the script. They're really just doing the treatment so they can have that main story arc. And here's what the story beats are.
Yeah.
And then it's going to get further fleshed out. And they're going to change a bunch of things in it. And a year from now is when they're actually probably going to start doing the casting on it. and then it's going to get into actual production. So they've got a lot of time. So it's not really a huge surprise that they haven't delayed anything, because there's nothing going on for them right now that's really getting disrupted. Last week we got a lot of news for a variety of things getting postponed. Especially, you know, real big on that list was a lot of the Marvel movies. We covered that over in Guardians, mm-hmm. and basically everything got shuffled like 6 months.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. We're not talking years worth of delays. We're just talking, you know, a bump on the road here, hopefully, and we'll see where things go after that.
Right, right.
So lastly, we have a little story here about the upcoming High Republic stuff coming out. We talked about this mm-hmm. extensively a few weeks back. You know, Star Wars made their big announcement about this. It's books, it's comics, it's mainly print type stuff coming out for this next era of Star Wars that they're going to delve into. And just to refresh your memories, this was so the High Republic is 200 years before the current storyline we've been watching, mm-hmm. dealing with Jedi when they're at the height of their power, I guess you'd say. And once again, in this article on StarWars.com, they did come back to that same quote that I always go to from Kenobi, you know, for over 1,000 generations, Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the galaxy. And that, uh-huh. you know, that's what this is going to be all about, basically, is when they were at their peak and when they were doing that guardians of peace and justice thing. I am really, really, really looking forward to all these stories, and hopefully it's a well thought out, well interconnected storyline between all these authors. But we did get some information about some of the new Jedi we're going to see going forward here. So they gave us, I think, profiles of 3 or 4 people here, along with concept art. So if you go over to StarWars.com, you'll be able to see this stuff out there. First up, we have Avar Chris. She mm-hmm. is, she's set up here as the brightest, most notable example of Jedihood. She always tries to see the good in people and situations, never puts herself first. She's invigorated about life on the frontier and the challenges it brings, and is an inspiration for those who work with her. She's compassionate, not dogmatic, and always ready to sacrifice herself for others. Avar Chris is the best of the best.
So like you said, there's concept art here. She's humanoid. She has a green lightsaber. Mm-hmm. With a really big hilt though.
Yeah.
For a lightsaber. The second one we have here is looks like a Twi'lek going by the name of Loden Greatstorm. Mm-hmm. Kind of sounds like a Skywalker thing to me. Loden is a Twi'lek Jedi master and is considered to be one of the best teachers in the Jedi Order. Strong and wise with a good sense of humor, Loden looks at every moment as a learning experience, always trying to better himself and those around him, especially his Padawans.
Next up, we have another female character here. She's got a double-bladed lightsaber, which is kind of cool.
Green, it's badass.
Green on both ends. And this is Keeve Trennis. Keeve is a young firebrand Jedi believed to have had a great future ahead of her if only she would believe it herself. Quick-witted and more impulsive than she should be, Keeve has only been a Jedi Knight for a few weeks and is a little starstruck around Avar, knowing many of the great things Chris has done in the past. She's determined to prove herself to Avar and the other legendary Jedi on station, Starlight Beacon. First, she must learn to trust in herself as much as she trusts in the Force. So I can see some coming of age stuff here with her, you know, kind of growing up mm-hmm. as a young Jedi and learning the ropes.
Yeah. And she has those forearm gauntlets, very similar to like what Kenobi has in the Clone Wars and a lot of other Jedi too.
Yep.
But it's kind of a cool throw forward. Is that a thing? It's not a throw back,
yeah, I guess,
since this takes place before the Clone Wars. So we would say Kenobi's was a throwback, but we didn't know it.
Yeah, maybe. Looks like she also still has her Padawan tail. The little hair braid thing
going
on.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's see. The next one we have here is we have another human male with a blue lightsaber, and it looks like Excalibur. It has a cross guard on
it.
And we're not talking like lightsaber, like Kylo Ren cross guard, like a very traditional, like sword cross guard.
Yep.
Kind of interesting. This is Stellan Geos? Geos?
Sure.
Whatever you want it to be. Whatever you want it to be. Stellan is an optimistic and well-respected Jedi Master. He came up through the Order with Avar Kriss, and although they're often on different assignments for the Jedi or the Republic, when the two work together, they're a powerhouse team of two noble heroes in action. Strong in the Force and a natural teacher, Stellan is currently stationed at one of the Jedi Temple outposts on the distant planet of Karagon Viner.
Okay. Lastly here for a setup, we have Venestra. She goes by Vern, and last name is Wah. Is that how you pronounce that? R-W-O-H?
Sure.
Yes. So it says Vern's a newly minted Jedi Knight. Venestra, she's a Mirlan, was a Padawan to Stellan Geos, whatever you pronounce that, and she works hard and is devoted to Jedi Order more than most others at her age. At 16, she's the youngest Jedi Knights, and she's one of the youngest Jedi Knights in the generation. She struggles to fit in with the adults while also setting a good example for younger Jedi.
And she's the one who we heard about in the author interview that I think we went through a couple weeks ago. She's kind of the headlining character for that particular novel. So we do get another kind of coming of age type of person. And that was, I believe that was a YA book.
I think so. Yeah.
Also. So, yeah,
it makes sense. So I mean, she's 16 taking on the role of an adult in some of the Jedi stuff. So that could be, cool to watch her grow.
And
up.
I'll tell you, you know, for people who may shy away from the YA stuff, first of all, I'll tell you, I've read a lot of the Star Wars young adult books, and they pretty much read like any other novel. It's not like you're reading a kid's book. And the other side is, you know, consider that you have someone like this who's a younger Jedi. Okay, so they're Luke Skywalker's age when we first saw Luke in A New Hope.
Yeah, roughly.
You know what I mean? I mean, so you're seeing, and obviously this is someone who actually started as a Padawan and they had the training. They're not like Luke, who, you know, stares into the hilt of a lightsaber at the wrong end. Dummy.
Right.
And, you know, so we're... Some people might be thinking, oh gosh, you know, I don't want to see some like, you know, kids or teenagers going through this stuff. Well, hey, hang on a second. We've seen a lot of that in Star Wars. We saw Anakin as a teenager. We saw Luke as a teenager. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen a lot of this, you know, character growth, and they do this for a lot of characters where they start them off young, and we have these really great arcs with them. So I'm just really excited that to me, it just seems very evident that they're building a foundation for what we're going to see in a visual medium, whether it is small screen or big screen, I don't know, but they're building this.
Yeah, this is their test platform to write this stuff and see what the reception is and see what sticks and what doesn't. And then the stuff that sticks, I think we're going to see some multimedia stuff out of that, you know, whether it be TV or a movie or whatever, but... yeah, I'm looking forward to this stuff. The first novels arrive in, I think, August, I want to say.
Yeah, I think
so, most stuff's happening in the fall. I know there's at least one novel being released the week of New York Comic Con. So we'll see where that goes. And Del Rey's just a pretty good Star Wars presence there. So.
Yeah, no, New York City Comic Con. You mean the site of the... Javits Center Hospital?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, hopefully they'll have that cleaned really well before 100,000 rabid, you know, comic fans arrive.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see if that's going to happen or not this year. We'll see. But that does bring us to the end of this week's episode. I don't think we have anything else. I think there's been some good news that's not coronavirus related that we can talk about. So,
absolutely.
Again, Star Wars is alive and well. Things are progressing along, and hopefully all this time has given authors a better chance to sit down by themselves and write and interact online and get some stuff hammered out so we can get some great stuff coming up soon. So... That brings the end of the episode. We don't have any kind of ending show notes here because I don't think Eric's doing any music for us yet because we're still doing the whole video thing, but we'll get all that sorted out here. So take care, everybody. You can find us online. Randomchad.com is the best place to find all the stuff about us. So take care. We'll see you guys in about a week. We're going to close the blast doors.